Let me get at these niggas. Yeah. Now watch me back your shit up. I hope you people pull up and pick up and pack your shit up. Homie, it's time to move. While I'm singing right through you, let me believe you with all of your vacancy and streets. And never believe in you niggas. Come on, go ahead and have all. You can watch me patiently waiting, aiming, attacking. Instead, I'ma let one of my bitches slap you. I invite you and your niggas to try to feel the wrath of the unruly awakening of a sleeping giant. Very defiant. I give you the pressure and then I apply it. And then you're breathing to stop it totally quiet. Captain in the ship to call me the pilot. I'll leave you when you cool, but allow me die. Stop on the niggas! Like a herd of 1,000 cattle that'll travel over your face and crash on your shit. Shot me worse than the brick and then we told you when you get the rip and then you know.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, right?
It's crazy, right?
This is like a, this is a situation that you can get.
Did you hear this?
Oh, yeah. First time.
It sounds like it's coming from inside.
Right?
Bro.
Yes.
No, power is not.
Push this.
You well, tell me, because we can talk about it.
We are about to talk about it.
I sent you the I sent you the invite to the party. That was the launch of it.
Got it.
But
where am I sitting?
Right there, yeah.
You guys, welcome back to another edition of Lab Rats Culture. I'm Twitch, and next to me is, I mean, this guy has the has a resume the length of a scroll, you guys. Like, I mean, just years and years. I'm going to say decades. Decades in the game. I met this guy, it was in 2002. After seeing him on various screens, I had tapes. He is from legendary crews, like Skill Methods. You've seen this guy in You Got Served. You've seen him dancing alongside Janet Jackson. You might have seen him dancing with the Spice Girls. You might have seen him dancing in any TV show or commercial where there might have been anyone dancing. It might just have been our next guest. His name is Flips. Flips, welcome to the lab,
what's
homie.
Up, dude? What is my up? Dude. It's been a minute.
It has
Thank
been
you.
A minute,
this place
man.
Is dope.
This place is dope.
We got a little, you know, I like the artwork. Setup. I love the setup.
Absolutely. We're actually looking to name that guy. We can talk about that in a minute.
All right.
But man, Flips, thank you for coming by. And we just have so much to dive into, man, because honestly, the first time that I worked with you was during Step Up 3D.
Yes.
Right? That was our first official project together,
New
right?
York.
Right?
Yes.
But dog, you've had so much experience, you know, since then. That was well into your career, man. So could you just do us a favor and take us back to the beginning? Where are you from, and how did you find dance?
Way back. Back into time.
Back into time.
Okay, I am from Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. So
hey.
Peace to Puerto Rico, may they rebuild. I love you guys. Los amo con todo mi corazón. So yes, Mayagüez, Puerto Rico, born November 13th, 1979. I'm a Scorpio. Man, I'm 5'6", 140 yeah, pounds. I'm happy.
Walks on the beach or no?
I love reading leather-bound books. No, I'm kidding. But I think dancing was always in my life because of my family. Dancing salsa merengue around the house. Mm-hmm. And then dancing plena with my family. We had like a little church group kind of thing, and we'd go from place to place and do that. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then I got introduced to breaking when I was 15 by Abstract.
Hey.
We started Skill Methods Crew back in 1995, so I'm kind of fast forwarding a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, 95 was where it kind of hit me, I guess.
Okay.
Like I felt something about breaking and dance and hip hop, because it was like, how do I tie martial arts to extreme sports? Because I was also doing BMX freestyle, jumping ramps and trying to be crazy.
Right.
And I also wanted to be like Bruce Lee.
Right.
I also wanted to be like Greg Louganis. So it was like, I wanted to be a diver, a gymnast, Bruce Lee, and Matt Hoffman all in one body. And I was like, how do I do that? I don't know how to do that.
Right.
There's this one sport that was overlooked because it was being done in the underground, and it was breaking.
Right.
And it tied like capoeira, gymnastics. It had African roots, Latin roots. It was like everything in one. So we rented a movie in Blockbuster. I don't even think we gave it back. It was called... We rewound it so much the tape snapped. I remember Abstract was... with like unscrewing the VHS to try to glue it back together. So there's this one part that was always like, always all messed up. But yeah, it was called Beat Street. Mm. And that, dude, that movie, it was like Rocksteady Crew versus New York City Breakers and the legendary Roxy scene where they open up, they both show up in the club, they rode the train to get there, and both crews end up. It was kind of like, I know, there's like the burgundy and the blue, or the Bloods and the Crips, red and blue, but right. It really, in that film, you can feel the energy and the animosity, but there was no fighting, there was no, mm-hmm. Nobody Absolutely. Was like getting hurt, right. But you did see the animosity between the back and forth crews and the dissing and almost like the borderline disrespect, and I was like, they're fighting, but they're not fighting. They're right. like dancing their way through this understanding right. that it was just like this universal language that I was like, you know what? That's what I want to do.
Absolutely. I remember the first time I saw Beat Street, it was just kind of like, whoa, what's happening right now? Because, I mean, as far as, I mean, you might have already been, exposed to it, but I really hadn't, in Montgomery, Alabama, I hadn't really been exposed to the breaking culture other than like video clips on like music videos. You remember how they used to like flash those little clips of music, of one of y'all maybe doing a freeze or like mid head spin. You know what I mean? That was the glimpse of like B-boy culture that I got until we found those old VHS tapes of like, break-ins, mm-hmm. And also Beat Street, Crush Groove and all that stuff like that. Just the introduction to hip hop as a culture. So, you've kind of found a way to mash all of these things together. And what started the skill methods career? I know you kind of fast forwarded, but like what took you from like the beginning of breaking? Because listen, here's the deal. Like I need to hear at one point in time that you were horrible, that you just used that you were not good. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm like, no, don't fast forward and make yourself seem inhuman. Like you're just like, I met Abstract, and then fast forward, we started the skill methods crew. You know, it's like, oh, so upon meeting, y'all was just like, you know what? We need to start a crew.
we were not good in the beginning.
Right.
I was good. I was already tumbling by the time I met Abstract. Okay. And Abstract was a house dancer.
Got it.
So he was good at house and I was good at tumbling. But we were not good at breaking.
Right.
We did this multicultural fair, which I posted on YouTube, which is hilarious. Mm. It was a multicultural fair, and then they were willing to let us kind of like remake something that we wanted to do. So it was Beat Street. It was the red and the blue, and we tried to imitate the best that we could, and then later on we kind of knew that it was a little bit biting
right.
So like, all right, well let's put our spin on it or whatever. But it did happen where Abstract and I were getting in trouble in school, mm-hmm. getting detention, and then if the teacher would leave, we would like push the seats apart and push the desks apart and try to like get down because the tile floor was so nice.
Right, right.
I was like, you can't let this go to waste. Back it up.
Right.
So we would dance. We weren't that good. Mm-hmm. But what people didn't know is we would practice every day, like 4 to 6 hours a day. My parents is like, it's 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. You got school the next day and we're still practicing.
Right.
So I guess by the time that people saw us in a club or like at a battle, we were getting really good. It looked like we're getting really good really fast.
Right.
It's because all the hours we were putting in behind closed doors. I had two blood clots in my eyes from head spins. I had a hematoma in my ear from like hitting myself doing windmills on the floor.
Right.
So there was like a lot to it. The reason why I say fast forward is because there was those glimpses of time that passed by that it was just practice.
And that's dope. I think that's a good part. That's a great part to like at least illustrate a little bit because I say this so many times, but like we just like with Instagram and like blah blah blah, we live in like a world of like of highlights, right? Mm. Like nobody practices. I'm sorry, nobody posts the part
struggle.
that you just fast forwarded through. They post the part where you're like, oh, I just seen this clip the other day. B-boy Gravity do this double backwards flip, like a round off and double backflip, and I was like, man, that's amazing. And I thought to myself, like, I need to step up athletically somehow. Like, what am I doing? But
a lot of the time people don't really get to see the struggle. Like, yo, how many times did he not land
did
that?
Did he not land that or land short or over rotate?
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I know that there are certain things that you have, you know, your signature style on certain moves, especially head spins. You know what I mean?
But I
like
love head spins.
I wanted to hear from myself. Like, man, what was it like at the beginning? And when did you set out to be like, nope, I'm gonna be the best at that right there?
Yes. You know? There were moments when I first saw the head spin. Mm-hmm. It was something that it felt like a magic trick.
Right.
It felt like I didn't believe it at first, but I was watching it, and it was Storm. It was Battle
right, so
of the Year.
In front of your face.
It was Storm. It was a video.
Video, okay.
That some B-boys from Puerto Rico, Boricua family B-boy, shout out, they brought to the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who's the dude in the red? And it was Storm.
Mm-hmm.
It was Storm and his brother, mm-hmm. Speedy and Swift Rock. Mm-hmm. And the ease in which he could just be upside down and he would grab his legs behind his back.
Right,
and he could do
right,
different
of course,
dimensions
yeah.
of head spins. I was like, man, the way that I learned it, is only one way, is you get on your head and you give it a go,
right?
But then
right.
you fall down. I wasn't able to defy gravity right away.
Right.
And when I saw the clip and he took off his clothes, he takes off his pants, his jacket while he's
right.
head spinning.
Right, right.
And I'm like, this is on VHS, so it's either a trick or
right.
it's like some type of, like, not CGI because it was
right.
like 1995, but right. it was trippy to watch that. And I was right. like, if there's any move that really like, made me feel like a kid again,
mm-hmm.
it was that. Like a kid on Christmas. Like, what? It was the head spin.
That's really
so
dope.
That's why I dedicated so much time. That was the only move I actually really wanted. I remember Abstract being like, yo, man, you got to practice your flavor. I'm like, nah, man, I got to get good at the power moves first.
Right.
Because for me, the power and the dynamics kind of tied me to gymnastics and martial arts.
Right, okay.
So I wasn't so much about, like, the style of where my leg was kicking. Because
mm-hmm.
for me back then, it's like, I need to put years into mastering the head spin. Then, because of martial arts, I also wanted to be almost like a Shaolin monk where I could have the balance and speed and have the control
mm-hmm,
inside
mm-hmm.
my body to be able to go slow, go fast, stay up longer than other people.
Right, right.
So that's kind of, yeah, the head spin. And it does happen to be, not every B-boy thinks this, but I think the head spin, because not a lot of people do it, is one of the most difficult to maintain.
Mm.
To maintain the balance mm-hmm. and the swiftness. Because if you don't whip your legs right, then your arms have to find the balance and you wobble your,
right.
you know, and it
right.
starts to hurt your neck. Or you get a crick in your neck or you get a herniated disc and you no longer want to practice that.
Right.
That's
right.
the move you put on the shelf. So it's
right.
hard to literally be a good head spinner where you can,
right.
you know.
Which speaks a lot. I mean, which also
yeah.
speaks a lot to your work ethic, though. No,
yeah.
it does. You know what I mean? That's one of those things. And I think, to me also, just b-boying in general, you know, because you are so close to the ground, so you are so close to the ground
mm-hmm.
and moving so quickly and almost in some moves seems like you're flailing, right? So
mm-hmm.
so for those that have, you know, mastered or come close to mastery, you can never just achieve mastery, but like
right, right.
you know, like to your level that can do all of that, like the Clouds, the Fleas, the Legacies, you know, all like all those guys, that's something to be said, because it is all it takes is one time. Listen, the last time
mm-hmm.
I attempted windmills, yo, my right knee, bro,
oh, I smashed on the ground. It's because you
that
weren't
was it.
You weren't tilted high
I
enough.
Know.
Yeah, there's like physics and
I'm
science.
I'm just taller than you, Flip.
No,
I'm
man, because KMO can do it.
Shut up. No. I know.
Yo, K-Bell is the best example for anyone that's tall
yeah.
that says they can't do it. He flips and he breaks so swiftly.
Yeah.
And he could do anything either direction. And you know, it is also a work ethic.
Right.
There,
right.
there is, you know, there's like a science to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's physics, because obviously you don't want to get hurt or it doesn't show progress. Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you can go through the pain, but if you don't master or fix like your hips
right.
or your legs to be higher.
Right.
But what happens is, yeah, if you hit your knee, you dislocate your knee, you hit your hip, you hit
mm-hmm.
your shoulder,
mm-hmm.
like we got, a lot of the B-boys got the B-boy burn
mm-hmm.
on top.
Right.
It is discouraging because you almost don't see the instant gratification
right.
of you getting better.
Right.
You know, so
right.
it's frustrating. Breaking now that you can watch other people on YouTube and Instagram,
mm-hmm.
I think you get the inspiration. And I always say, Only those that see the invisible can do the impossible. So right. some people can actually see their body do something before anyone else can mm-hmm, do it. Mm-hmm. And some need to see it, to believe it.
Got it.
Like the head spin.
Right.
I'm like, once I saw Storm do the head spin and Quick Step and Gumby, mm-hmm. man, they could still head spin. They're like late 40s,
right.
you know, probably, yeah, late 40s, early 50s, and they could still head spin, man. So mm-hmm. that, you know, that they've mastered something, you know, and everyone masters it in their own way. Mm-hmm. But had I not seen that you can spin that long, right. I probably wouldn't be as good of a head spinner as you,
right.
as when you saw me head spin and
right.
step up. And we were on carpet, wet carpet, and
right.
we're still, like, giving it a go.
Right.
It's crazy.
Man. Now, during that yeah. time, to help push you while you're training, who were some of the people that you had around you? I know you said you were training with Abstract, but mm-hmm. who were some of your other peers or, at the times, you know, battle enemies that
yeah.
were keeping you, you know, extremely focused and working?
I think there was a good balance. I always love unity. Mm-hmm. I love battles, but I also love the fact that Skill Methods is from Tampa, Florida, and mm-hmm. when we would travel to Orlando, there would be a couple crews that would want to test your might.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we would give it a go right. with, like, illegal immigrants, mm-hmm. Mind 180, mm-hmm. crews like that. And then when you go down south to Miami, like, if you're ready,
right.
you would go up against Street Masters, Flipside Kings, Rocksteady, South, you know, like the South chapter.
Yeah.
And you, when you're ready to battle and you're ready to get your name out there, you go to Miami.
Okay.
Because Miami started to train so hard and got, like, the flavor, mm-hmm. the flavor mm-hmm. from New York. Mm-hmm. But they also had the power and agility of the West Coast and Europe.
Right.
So there was, like, Miami was this melting pot that people were sleeping on.
Right.
But it was all mixed ethnicities, just like New York.
Mm-hmm.
So New York created this, like, the Bible of breaking, right? That's
right.
like the Mecca.
Right.
But then these other kids, the next generation, mm-hmm. Flipside and Street Masters, mm-hmm. they started to, almost like in a dynamic way, melt everything together.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's kind of how we started,
right, right?
Was the influence of how good Miami was. So if you wanted to travel, if you wanted to travel outside of Florida, you better be as good as the B-Boys in Miami and or better.
Right.
If not, you weren't gonna be flown internationally, because that was the melting pot. They're gonna grab Rocksteady or Full Circle or New York City Breakers or Dynamic Rockers
mm-hmm.
from New York, because mm-hmm. they got names. Mm-hmm. Then you got Street Masters and Flipside and everybody
mm-hmm.
in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to get seen, like, hey, we're good. We're
right.
ground zero. We're
right.
like, hey, we're
right.
good. We're good.
Right.
Then whoever's good, then you got, like, Renegades.
Right.
Dude, you got, like, Renegades, mm. LA Breakers mm. from the West
mm-hmm.
Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So you better be good or you're not going nowhere. And then that's how you get the international fame
right, right.
was you had to have someone to test your might against. So it was Miami that kept us hot and, like, on our toes.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando, which we were working out of Universal Studios,
mm-hmm.
but the local crew started catching up quick. So
mm-hmm.
you got kids on
mm-hmm.
your toes, and you're like, man. Then you got, you're able to travel to the B-Boy Summits
mm-hmm.
and the freestyle
mm-hmm.
sessions,
mm-hmm.
and you see how hype and how young the kids were out here with power,
right.
hungry.
Right.
You got Pablo doing air flares,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Late
mm-hmm.
90s.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn. You got Kid Sub, which is Ruin, Ronnie
mm-hmm.
Ruin,
mm-hmm.
Caveman. There were Crumbs, Aristin.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so many dynamic guys that were now going, okay, West Coast has the power,
right.
but now we're also mixing flavor.
Got it.
And that upside down style where
mm-hmm.
they could do anything on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, man. So you're always playing this game of catch up that kept us on our toes. But yeah, my peers would be, like, street tumbling and street breaking was K-Mel for sure.
Right, right.
Tumbling on the street and hitting with K-Mel. I became, like, a streetwise savage, which now I knew my worth on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I could train hard enough to, if I can master this on the concrete and not get hurt, once
right.
I'm on nice wood, it's a
right,
wrap.
Right.
Or I'm
right.
on carpet, no sweat. I
mm-hmm.
got this.
Mm-hmm.
But my crew, like Flea Rock, was a rebel
mm-hmm.
always. He's got it tattooed on his,
mm-hmm.
you know, on his collarbone. Abstract, when it comes to, like, being in the lab and being smooth with just a unique style where he doesn't care
mm-hmm.
what comes out of his body and whatever the song made him do.
Mm-hmm.
he doesn't care to learn it to repeat it at a jam.
Right, right.
That's
right.
Amazing to me.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to have a vocabulary of things mm-hmm. to look at his notepad and go, okay, on the third round.
Like,
exactly.
Got it.
Ab just flows. He's like Yoda. He's mm-hmm. like a mass. He's so dope. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the whole style was kind of birthed from like Abstract having that weird style. And then me, Ab, Cloud. Cloud came from a West Coast family from San Diego, the three brothers uh-huh. Grimm, Aaron and Kevin, that could do everything both ways. Uh-huh. So he was like the best of footwork, the best of power with his own originality. Right. If you've seen how he draws Absolutely. And how he edits,
yeah.
that's how he breaks. He continuously will change his style based on how he woke up that day.
Right, right.
That keeps you on your toes. He was 11 years old. When he was in our crew, he was 11. He was 11. He's like 30 something now. Cloud, don't get mad. It's May 6th, but I don't remember exactly how old he is. But yeah, he kept us on our toes. His brothers, like mm-hmm. if three brothers, Grimm, Kevin, Aaron, and Cloud, Daniel, wouldn't be that good, I don't think Skill Methods would have stayed that good. Because once you feel you're good, you get comfortable.
Right,
but we met
right.
these three brothers from San Diego in a racquetball court in St. Petersburg, and they were out of control. And they would break in socks, like super West Coast style.
Right.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So they kept us on our toes. Meeting Flea Rock, that dirty Miami South style, that mm-hmm. South, you know, dirty South style. Love Flea Rock for that.
And is that
he
where
never
you met
settled.
Flea in Miami?
He was 15. Yep.
Did you meet him battling, or did you yeah. just know of each other through?
We heard of him. He was in Shorty Rocker's crew with his best friend Superman, and then we also met War. We were uh-huh. War Christopher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man, we met them. They were I think War was 16, yeah. Flea was 15, and Flea I saw on a video the Zulu anniversary, mm-hmm. Zulu Nation anniversary. Mm-hmm. He was like 10 years old or 11 years old. He was the little kid that went out after Crazy Legs with the striped shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, that style looks familiar. And then we later found out that Flea was one of the only kids from Florida with Troll and Teal Steel to go to New York. So we were like asking him for advice. Like, yo, and then I saw him head spin. It was a wrap. I was like, yo, we got a train. I'll drive all the way to Miami. I don't care.
Right.
But again, your friends and your foes fueled that fire.
Exactly.
So then your friends sometimes became your foes.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you felt a little backstabbed by certain people. Mm. So you end up battling, or they end up crew hopping, which is when they leave one crew mm-hmm. to go to the next because they think it's like a better, I don't know, career
right.
choice or something. I
right,
don't know.
Right.
Or for ego or whatever, for more props. So yeah, we would like, we were almost called, Technique is called the Cypher Sniper, but we were like little snipers, man. We
yeah,
were
yeah.
like, we would roll up like ninjas, man, all in black or black and red, and they're like, yo, Skill Methods is in the house. And they'd keep spelling our name wrong. We hated that. It's with a Z. It's Methods with a Z, not an S.
You know what's great about that, though, is even as you're kind of repainting
yeah.
these stories, I can tell that that it still brings you back to that place. It's
yeah.
it's still in your body. You know what I mean?
For
and
sure.
I feel like that's one of the things that has not changed since I've met you. I mean, mm-hmm. there hasn't been too much that has changed at all, other than
hey.
Just how much you've done and how much you've grown, right?
I got facial hair
constantly,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't have facial hair. I didn't have much facial hair.
But you can still shave it and look like 12. Like, you know. You know,
yeah.
So now that you've been on the scene,
yeah.
you're battling, you know what I mean? What comes first? The industry or traveling overseas to battle?
I think back then when I first got into the industry, I was one of the lucky ones because it was called freestyling back then.
Right.
It wasn't like you never got a call sheet that said looking for B-boys or
right.
even breakdancers. Uh-huh. It was like looking for freestyle or specialty acts.
Okay.
So for me, I think that breaking and hitting in the street, dancing on the street for tips,
mm-hmm.
it just helped me to learn to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But it also helped me at the same time to perfect my movement. So mm-hmm. when I went to a battle, I wouldn't slip or I wouldn't mess up
right,
or I
right.
wouldn't like land that low or like
right.
not hit my head spin
uh-huh.
fast from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
But I think what I always wanted it wasn't for my name to shine. It was for my crew to be known. It was never for someone in Germany to know who Flips is. It was, they needed to know who the squad was.
Right, right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So for me, it was like, if one of us make it, we all make it. And I applied that same exact mentality in a battle to rep for my crew. If there was one battle where Venom was injured, he had pulled his groin, and I hopped in and battled Chino from Break's crew in Who Could Roast the Most. So it was always a family, brotherly crew type of thing. So between the industry and battling, I always try to keep a balance, because there was more fame getting flown to France and Germany and you know what I mean, to Africa to battle, or to join Red Bull, or to be in a BC One like Cloud was. There's definitely more where we come from. There's more fame and recognition and longevity in that, but there's way more money in the industry. You do one job, and you could, if you book one commercial, you could not work the entire year, maybe 2 years of just checks coming in if you join SAG-AFTRA. And that's a whole nother conversation if you want to get into that. But I always tried to balance. Every single time I booked a major motion picture or a national commercial like Twix with Little Bow Wow, which was one of the first ones, Tina Landon was like, you need to go to LA, dude. You need to go to choreographer's ball. Do you know Flo? Do you know Poe One? Do you know Stilo? I was like, I got to get to know these guys, because that's two different worlds. I'm like, I know of Stilo, but he's a battle cat from Puerto Rico, right? It's like, yeah, but he's also doing Janet Jackson videos. I'm like, what? So that's where you find the balance. I was like, well, if he's training for his craft and he's battling in Puerto Rico, how is he? How did he end up in a Janet Jackson video? It's because you don't even comprehend that it's a one-day shoot, or it's a two-day shoot, or it's a one-week rehearsal into a one-day shoot. So I always found... I'm OCD, so I always like balance in my life. So if I do a big gig, I have to do a battle, or I start to sense that people are trying to clock me, like, oh, he's Hollywood, he's sold out. I remember going to a battle, there was a 16-year-old that had a You Got Served shirt, but it had the middle finger up. You could buy it at, it's when You Got Served was, like, hot. You could buy it at Urban Outfitters, and it was, like, You Got Served. It was a purple shirt. I'll never forget it. And they both wore it, and they were twins, and I'm looking at them like, are they calling me out because I was in a movie? But at the same time, like, I'm giving you guys an opportunity to even be seen. Or, like, let's say you're dope. I would say your name to the director or the producer and give you guys an opportunity to be in this film. Don't dog me because I was in the film, because I'll still smoke you in the circle. And they're about to feel it right now. They're about to feel that wrath. Because they think that you get stuck. A lot of people feel that you plateau and get stuck there. Like, oh, I know your moves, the prayer flip and the head spin. I'm like, that's all that you saw edited in the film.
But that doesn't mean you know my entire catalog.
You don't know my A to Z.
You didn't see the part that I was talking about fast forwarding through, where we were breaking on carpet and da da da. You know what I mean? It's again, the highlight mentality once again. You know. So with that though, let me ask you this: what was your introduction to the industry? Because I also want to explain to the audience that these are two very different worlds, okay? The world, you know, of the street scene as far as battles in that community, and then the industry out here in, you know, TV and film. And I think during the years that we're talking about, probably very difficult for a b-boy to break through onto that scene, right? Because I mean, since they technically didn't even have a name to put on the call sheet to say we need b-boys, so how, in a time where they didn't even recognize your style as its own, did you make your way into the industry?
I think the fact that I was able to tumble, flip off of anything, flip off of a wall, off of a car, flip onto a car, flip on and off objects. I was able to let the industry think that I am a gymnast, a martial artist, mm-hmm. and a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they needed those three things, I would cater to what the call sheet said. We need a gymnast that can spin on his head. Well, that's a b-boy.
Right.
But they don't know that.
Right.
The
right.
people, you know, the marketing campaign at Target didn't know that.
Right.
But I am a gymnast, so I went into the audition doing Kirk Thomas flares.
Right.
And undercuts, backflips in one spot, and right. I'd finish in a headspin. And I checked off, I ticked every box. And again, that's the OCD in me to be a people pleaser.
Right.
I'm like, what are they looking for? They're looking for a gymnast that can spin on their head. Well, if you're a b-boy and all you got is headspins, you're not going to look like a gymnast to them. You're mm-hmm. going to look like a breakdancer mm-hmm. or a b-boy or a hip-hop dancer.
Right, right.
Because they don't even know. But right. if you go in there checking every box, and back in 1997, 98, 99, that's what I was doing.
Right.
I danced at Universal Studios. Thanks to Venom, he hooked that up with G-Force Entertainment.
Mm.
And they were looking for stunt acrobats. Mm-hmm. And I saw that Venom also learned to cater to that and perform.
Right.
We were doing swords, bro. We were like Venom and Flips from Skill Methods. We're like fighting with swords in a show at Universal.
Right. Right.
But when it came time to do our gainer, Venom to do his air flares and me to do his headspins, it was a wrap.
Right, right.
Because that's where we really shine. So right. we learned kind of their little, got our foot in the door, and mm-hmm. then boom. So as far as these auditions went, I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a manager. There was a magazine called Backstage Magazine that mm-hmm. you could buy for like $2.75. That was my hustle. I would dance on the street with Tick and Tack. Shout out to Tick and Tack All-Stars, hey. KML, Sugar Ray, Tick and Tack. they would hit on the street, and I would kind of have my own little side dream, if you'd say, like, I wanted to invest in myself in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So this ties into how was I able to balance it.
Right.
They would hit Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So mm-hmm. I'm like, what am I going to do Monday through Wednesday? I started hustling myself, right?
Right.
Bought Backstage Magazine, went to the auditions. I would tell Abstract when Abstract was in New York, when Technique was in New York, I would tell them about it. Flea right. was in New York. Yo, they got an audition for this and that, whatever.
Right.
They had an audition for Honey, and we ripped it out of the thing. Mm. All you needed to know was starring Jessica Alba, music by Christina Aguilera, and Dark Child. It was
right.
a wrap.
Right.
We were all there. Everyone in New York, people came from Philly, people right. came from Boston for right. that audition. And they were looking for freestylers. And Lorianne Gibson, I had heard her name, mm-hmm. but I'd never seen her in real life. Right. She was there. And I started to understand the panel and what everyone was looking. Billy Woodruff was there. Jessica Alba was there. Lorianne Gibson was there. And I had to understand, whose box do I have to tick? Who's looking for what?
Right.
Because it was specialty act. And I'm like, well, my specialty is to spin on my head.
Right.
It's not to, like, swallow swords or juggle fire.
Right, right.
Right? But absolutely. You could get lost in that.
Absolutely.
If you're reading the Backstage Magazine yeah. and it just says specialty act. Yeah, it's like, exactly. oh, I swallow swords and I balance people on my head.
Right, exactly.
So we went in there with the mentality of Abstract's going to do what he does best. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I do best. And I admitted that I didn't pick up the choreography.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you could pick up the choreography, please stay. And I just sat in the back of the room, waited, because I knew that if I went out to try the choreo, I would get cut. Once you get cut, there's this little stigma, like,
right.
Right? Right. There's yeah, that little stain yeah, on you, yeah, like, oh, yeah. he doesn't dance that well because right, he can't
right,
pick it up.
Right.
But if given the chance to shine in my light, would they give me a chance to pick up the mm-hmm. choreo? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what happened for Honey, was that. So I was able to balance okay. the street mentality with the battle mentality. Right. I was looking at them like, yo, who needs to see the headspin? All right, I'm a headspin for Lorianne. I'm gonna do a couple undercuts for this dude because he might like gymnastics.
Right.
And you light up the room, man, and you perform as if they had a $100 bill to give you. Yeah. You know, when you're on yeah. the street and you're hustling,
yeah.
you're looking for to touch that person's heart, for them to reach in their pocket and give you a 5, a 10, a 20,
mm-hmm.
it all kind of validates for how much change or like how much you, what's the word, man? Like you touch them or you're absolutely. Like, wow, you know what? These kids are really doing their thing. I'm going to pull out a $100 bill and you're yeah. like, yo, I really touched that dude. That's and if it. He's got that kind of money, he's the type of guy, sorry, that could help us out.
Mm-hmm.
So hitting on the street was also that. I would look at who's wearing a tie, who's wearing a Rolex, who's, you know, who's right. just wearing sandals and probably will only give us a dollar. Well, if you split a dollar by four people, right. we just got a quarter each.
Right, right.
So I was doing all that math in my head. I was calculating who people were. I was even telling people, yo, the 5 o'clock Wall Street crowd is coming. Like, let's right. go. Let's do multiple shows back to back.
Right, right.
That's that street hustling mentality.
Right, right.
You know?
And there's two things I
want to... It's crazy. Sorry. Anyway, it's so deep. It's so...
That's why we're here, though, because there's two right. things that I want you to expand on that, yeah. that you just kind of touched on in that explanation is... flexibility, okay, and not physical flexibility in knowing how to use the training that you have been brought up with, mm-hmm. the tools that you've acquired mm-hmm. all throughout your life, and then applying it to the things that you're embarking upon then. And secondly, mm-hmm. your hustle, like that, and that's another common denominator mm-hmm. that I have never seen change in you. I've only seen it increase, to be quite honest.
Thank
is
you.
Your hustle, Flips.
Thanks, man.
And so. First and foremost, can you please talk about the importance of allowing a little open-mindedness?
Mm-hmm.
And I ask this because I know that I out of the B-boys that I know, B-boys, B-girls, I know, there are some that get stuck in heavy traditionalist ways. Like, mm-hmm. nah, I'm not doing that job because that's not hip-hop. Or like, nope, right. not wearing that. Like, nope, I'm not working with that person because they work with that person and they don't know anything about what I do. How important is it to be flexible? And this is to the aspiring B-boys and also just hard out freestylers around
right.
the world is
right.
that kind of have a rigid approach to, you know.
My main approach to being able to be flexible mentally and with even my own morals and, mm-hmm. and codes mm-hmm. is understanding if let's say Steven Spielberg he's doing a huge movie and it has to be robot-like movement, I want him to understand that our culture can do that, can mm-hmm. provide him that service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in being a people pleaser, that's kind of where I go. Or if Crazy Legs throws a brand new jam
mm-hmm.
and it's got like a criteria to it,
mm-hmm.
the understanding of like, I feel like I can do that to show that we are evolving mm-hmm. as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Both Steven Spielberg and Crazy Legs sit in my mind in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Absolutely.
So there's an understanding that comes into my head like, all right, maybe I could be motion capture for Bumblebee for right. Transformers.
Right.
I can provide them that type of movement and understanding that it is a B-boy they're looking for.
Right.
It's not a gymnast. It's
right.
a B-boy. You want Bumblebee to have this kind of swag? I got
right.
you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's a hustler's mentality to know that if I'm put to that test, I can pass it.
Yeah.
I can pass that test.
Yeah.
Right? So directors and producers sometimes, it's a very common game where they're looking for something. Everyone's looking for the next big thing, but sometimes they don't know what they want until they see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I give them the opportunity to see me. And then mm-hmm. through me shines breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I open that door and I'm like, yo, you know who else is really good at this? My boy Cloud. You need another head spinner? My boy Flea.
Right.
You need somebody that like slithers through the ground on some dope shit? My boy Ab.
Mm-hmm.
And then you open that door and you now open a completely different world.
Right, right.
That's how I looked at it. Like, you know what? They need to understand what I do, where I'm from, and why I do it. And once they get it, man, there hasn't been a movie or a project I have not worked on since 1999
mm-hmm.
that I haven't been called back or called to ask if I can help cast it or mm-hmm. consult mm-hmm. or who else do you know that can do this? And that's where Flips Entertainment was born. Was there was too many jobs. There mm-hmm. was too many phone calls. There's too many places to be, and I know who also deserves to be here next to
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just me.
Right.
And that's why Skill Methods is now all over Absolutely. Hollywood and
yeah.
the world traveling and stuff. It's because of not only the unity, there was a common understanding, and there was a time where a couple of them did not want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Where a couple of them, like, let's say Flea Rock was battling overseas, he didn't really see himself doing choreography until
right.
he let that wall down. And he's like, you know what? Flips and Cloud are doing this. Why can't I do it? Boom. He
right.
booked Gwen
he's
Stefani.
Gwen Stefani. Yeah,
changed
exactly.
his mind.
Absolutely.
Changed his life.
Yeah.
Cloud, same thing. He saw me probably dance for Janet or Madonna and goes, you know what? if that's what it takes, I want to do that.
Right.
It does still take that understanding, because when you work with people like Jamie King, Kenny Ortega, Vince Patterson, Travis Payne, Rich and Tone, Dave Scott,
right.
Fatima,
right.
they all require a little something different. And you mm-hmm. have to polish yourself mm-hmm. differently every time. Mm-hmm. You don't just show up like, I'm Flips, this is what I do. You right. already know what I do. So right. what you need, it's not like that. Because right. Fatima might need a little something different for Be Cool than right. Dave Scott did for You Got Served.
Right,
and you
right.
have to have that understanding wow. that I had to paint my face for Be Cool. I was next to Tight Eyes and Lil C right, and Miss yeah. Prissy, like
during the Christina Milian performance situation. Right?
Had, yeah, I had to cater to like, yo, the streets of Compton is different than the streets of New York. So they did paint my face, and I did feel grimy, but I wasn't yeah. a crumper. So what did I do? I had one choice for that one scene, and it's to do what I do best. So I'm like, you know what? I'm a wild out and do a different kind of set than the one yeah. that I've previously done.
Yeah.
Because that music does make you feel a little grimy.
Right.
I didn't
right.
do Top Rock. I right. chose to crawl out and start flipping right. and get right. crazy and do a 90. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But it was like, let me let them understand that breaking and crumping still came from the underground.
Right.
Like if we're in a club, we should both be dancing at the same time. It's not like over there is the crump room and over here is the breaking room right, and that right. it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because music is movement. It's a language that we should all be able to speak. It's not, you don't understand my language.
Mm-hmm.
That's ignorance. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have that too.
We do have that too. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what, with
yeah.
that,
yeah.
and it, ignorance, great, it's honestly a great segue.
Understanding, like, man.
What,
yeah.
can you talk about like etiquette? You know what
oh,
I mean? Because
yes. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Listen,
yeah.
real quick, can you etiquette. You started to do it right before
yeah.
before the interview started.
Yeah.
How many films and
oh man. So I've done 28 feature films, but credited for 26 because some are not, mm-hmm. you know, all the way flushed out, or they don't go to a studio, or they mm-hmm. don't go to theaters. But I've done 28 movies, credited for 26. I've done 11 tours. Hold on. The numbers go this way. So
yeah.
so let me start from, because I'm OCD. I've done from highest to lowest. Television appearances through SAG-AFTRA, 76 television appearances. I've done 76 television shows that I get residuals
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is,
yeah,
royalties
sir.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
so national commercials, 48 national commercials. Three international commercials. I've done 7 ad campaigns, which is not a commercial, but it's like billboards and
right.
photography and stuff like that. That
right.
has actually made it to print or magazines.
Right.
28 films, been credited for 26. I've done right. 27 music videos, which not a lot of people do nowadays, which
right.
is kind of crazy. And
so, I mean, that's
11 like, world tours.
I mean,
yeah, in 23 years.
I mean,
know.
Listen.
It's crazy.
And you go back and you go back to the beginning, okay? And you
yeah.
go back to the beginning, which
yeah.
started as battles and like
mm-hmm.
and competition, and then
mm-hmm.
you've somehow seamlessly, you know, kind of changed all of that information and transitioned into being able to read a room and say,
mm-hmm.
I know exactly how to deliver.
Right.
Now, how important was etiquette with that process as you continue to do these jobs? You got called back
mm-hmm.
time after time.
Mm-hmm.
What is there something that you can speak about towards etiquette?
Yeah, there's a couple of things, especially if you work, now that I have my own company, if you
mm-hmm.
work for me, the first and foremost is punctuality, right?
Mm.
So if your call time, if you're in the industry, it's probably two different things, but if you're in the industry and your call time is 7 a.m., you'll probably, after working a couple jobs, you'll know why you should be there at 6:30. You have to find the tent or where you have to sign in. You have to park, first of all. And if you're not the lead and you don't have a trailer and you're not on set, literally, then you're going to have to park your car, walk to wherever you got to get to, speak to whoever you got to speak to, to get pointed the right direction to go sign in. This is before you have breakfast, before you think you could get some coffee, before you go grab a donut or whatever, because there's a lot of dancers and just talent in general that they act like like they're the star. Mm. And on a call sheet, that will bring you back to reality. In the call sheet, it said John Travolta, 1, Uma Thurman, 2, Dwayne Johnson, 3, Christina Milian, 4, and Flips was number 56, dancer number 56. I'm in that scene with Uma Thurman, John Travolta, Christina Milian, but I'm dancer number 56. Our honey wagon is like 10 minutes away in a golf cart. So the first thing is, if you're on time, right? Like, time is a target, right? So let's say it's 7 a.m. Being on time means arriving and being to where you need to get to by 7 o'clock, right? So if you're on time, you're already late. Let's say you parked your car and it's 6:59 a.m. I guarantee you, you'll be late on set. By the time you get to F. Gary Gray and he gives you your lines for the movie, it's going to be 7:15, 7:20. And they've been waiting on you for 15, 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes to John Travolta is $60,000. So if you can understand that, if you back up John Travolta, who only wants to shoot 1 hour every hour, and you just messed up. Boop, or effed up, whatever. Right. So if you're on time, you're late. If you're late, it's just unacceptable. If it's 7:01, if it's 7:02, and you're like, oh my God, where do I park? There's no valet. Mm-hmm. It's because you're not the star. The star can be late. Mariah Carey can be 4 hours late to a Super Bowl commercial that is based around her. Mm-hmm. She has fittings, she has interviews, she has a record deal, she's working all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we could wait for her. She was working on a $20 million dollar deal for Sony. Right. Like, yeah.
Right.
But we can't complain about that because you were in your suit and you were in your tux waiting around for 4 hours. That's the difference. And when you're casted, you are talent, but you're not the star. You're not the lead. And even if you are, don't act like that. And if you're early, it gives you time to greet people, shake hands, make eye contact with the PAs, the APs, the first ADs. Before you get there, people start to already check that box of responsibility. You're responsible. They can count on you.
Right.
There's so much that goes with the etiquette. And then a set should never wait for you, ever. Like, never. Because there's so many people that are making things work. You know, it's like an orchestra when you're on set. It's like from the director trickling down to the person who called your agent to make sure that you were there on time. Like, there's so much at stake and at play that you can never once think, if I'm there by whatever time, it's cool because yesterday I sat in my trailer all day. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Sit in your trailer all day, study your lines, make friends with people. Right. Even the security guard outside of those trailers will work on another movie and another movie and another movie. And you just never know. You never know who is who or who will end up. Overnight, people could be anything overnight. So it's like if you treated a PA wrong, right? Because they're the person that just yells at you to hurry up and be on time and back to one. The very next gig they had lined up, let's just say they were the directors. And as soon as you did that to them, they'll never hire you again.
Yeah.
And that's all etiquette. Being responsible, being kind. If you've never played their role, don't feel like they owe you anything. If you've never been a PA, if you've never directed, if you've never had to like read a storyboard by 7 a.m. and like not eat and get all those shots done by the end of the day and you show up late, so now that shot backs everything up. Like, you know, there's meal penalties. There's so many things that go on that you don't want to be the instrument that doesn't play right in an orchestra.
Love it.
You want to be the instrument that is like flawless. It's like always there, polished, ready to go, tuned, ready to go.
Right.
You never want to be.
No, do you? That, I mean,
etiquette, that, man. It's these people, man.
Listen,
YouTube, Instagram. Yeah. It's a great platform, but it won't make you. It won't make you the actress or actor that Meryl Streep is, or that Daniel Day-Lewis is, or it won't make you the dancer that Baryshnikov was, just because you put 10,000 hours into YouTube and editing and film. That's great, but the arts are different. You have to respect every art. Like, if I learn to spin on my head, I am not Storm. If I learn to kick fast, and I'm not Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. If I learn to dive in a pool, I'm not Greg Louganis. If I, you know, if I learn to rock a beat, I'm not Crazy Legs or Ken Swift. You have to be humble enough to know that and understand that, because your YouTube channel has a million subscribers, let's say, someone on there, not
right.
you.
Yeah, not here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Flips.
Like a million subscribers. But that doesn't mean that if you were in a film, a million people would come watch your movie. It does not mean that. It doesn't translate. Views and fans and followers doesn't translate to a film that changes the entire world or... A film like Titanic or Avatar you know, you're
that
talking about like
shifts the culture,
dude.
Shifts
a $1 billion for Transformers. It's not a billion views. It's not a music video that got seen for free. You click for free, but Transformers had people spend $1 billion to go watch it and buy the DVD, and you know what I mean. So there's a difference. It's not the fame does not translate the same way. Like. We started dancing in the entertainment industry around the same time, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Twitch's career is not supposed to be parallel to my career, and my career is not supposed to be parallel to his.
Right.
No matter how much he danced or no matter how many hours he put in, it's a different art form. It's a different respect. Like, I have to respect him for what he's done because he's doing his thing. I know who he is. What's up?
The thing is, that comes with the hard work, and also just and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this too. I heard a great quote yesterday that said, "Comparison is the thief of potential." Right. So, especially in the world we live in now, where you can scroll and see like, wow, that's a double backflip. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, or for you, you know, what you know, if somebody's booking something, or you know, you see a business that just hit the Forbes list or whatever, and I'm sure for you, that's kind of like, well, what do I need to, you know, how do you feel that you kind of stayed grounded in a land where it could be very easily to be ungrounded and just float off and try to do something to fit in and remain relevant and do that?
I think that I started so... The weird part is I became... The success came early in a time where I didn't know what it was or what it was going to be. It was like this new threshold, new land that no one discovered, right? So if you're in a brand new place that has no establishment and no rules... Right, you can't claim yourself the president or the king of that land. It's not until people inhabit a place that they start, well, who's here first? Well, then he's the ruler of this domain.
Right.
That's what happens with agencies and management and talent is okay, you have someone that broke through in their own way. Like I feel like I helped pave my own way. And then people might have followed, or they might have been like inspired by like, oh, Flips could do it, I can do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
They weren't necessarily comparing themselves, or they were.
Right.
But the first thing once you compare is like, dude, if you're not that person's height, if you didn't dance as much as they dance, if you didn't put in the hours, if you don't have their look, if you don't have their DNA or like their own, you cannot and you should not compare yourself. You can't. Just because Flips did it doesn't mean the outcome based on I did exactly what you did. I wear all black and I only rock G-Shock. You know what I mean? And I wear Levi's. And that doesn't mean it has the same outcome.
Right.
It's not math. It's not like 2 + 2 = 4 in any country.
Right.
It's not that simple. Right. But once you compare, there's a little bit of envy that comes with comparison. There's constructive... You know, you can compare yourself in a constructive way, like, man,
be a little healthy competition,
in a healthy way, like, yo, Twitch is DJing for Ellen, maybe Missy needs a hype man. That's like a healthy comparison.
It's not
that maybe LL Cool J needs a DJ too. It's like, nah, Z Trip got that on lock. You know what I mean? But it is like that. It's where you come to Hollywood, some people come to Hollywood trying to make it. But the crazy thing is you can make it on your own. You can make it by yourself. You can make it You can make your own path. Not that you can make it by yourself, but yeah, you might get like a manager that puts all the right things into place and goes, you know what, let's put our energy into this. Then you could get an agent that understands what you need to be in the rooms you need to be in, because no one comes here like alone and just makes it.
Right.
But however, it's definitely comparing. Think of why you're even comparing. Because inside someone else's mind could be the pattern or the spark or like the drive to do your own thing better than anyone, because it's your thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I learned to spin on my head, and there was a lot of people that were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in You Got Served, it might have been like, oh, or in Honey. It's like, if you're that only guy that did it, it's going to open doors different ways.
Absolutely.
So if you play a Rubik's Cube with your life, maybe you might not see all of the walls might not have all the colors that you expected until the end. You're just playing it, playing all your cards right, playing every move, wondering why, backing up a couple moves, maybe doubting. But your life is your Rubik's Cube. Don't let someone else play it.
Absolutely.
Because it's never going to end up the way that you wanted it to.
Absolutely. And I definitely have to extend that, especially to you know, those aspiring dancers, especially. And I got to say this too, it's over everybody, but I have to really push this to the street culture. In just being children of the hip hop culture, individuality pressed the style forward. No matter what facet we're talking about, whether it being DJing, MCing, the dancing, the graffiti, individuality puts the style forward. So don't get caught up out here trying to get the same number of likes as Flips, get the same number of likes as this person, that person, that person, feeling like you have to do the exact same thing, because that's actually against the ethical code of the same culture that's feeding us.
That's so ding, 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 ding. Are there any lights? That's so true. And then, you know what's funny? Like, they say everyone's DNA is different, right? Everyone's DNA. So stick to your lane, or stick to your, you know,
stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. It's your DNA. You will never be like me. I will never be like Twitch. Twitch will never be like Ellen. Right, Ellen will never be like Nelson.
Yeah.
It's just once you accept, I had to accept that I was 5'6" and I couldn't audition for Michael Jackson, but I ended up on stage with Janet Jackson. It's like, you know what I mean? And he watched the show. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And there's just ways you got, like he said, there's also like sometimes where you just got to let stuff ride. Like, I do like that the Rubik's Cube example, that sometimes you don't really get to see it come together until you're looking at it hindsight, right? Like, you know, you can try to do so much in the moment and be like, nah, but I have to have control of this. But you're being so rigid, so rigid, that you're not allowing other opportunities to manifest themselves, which also brings me to my whole next topic of conversation, which is the hustle, Flips. Like,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean. And all through, so since we've been talking already, I've already kind of picked up on little things that, like, you've been hustling since birth, really.
And I
have to say this too, guys. Like, don't let social media fool you into thinking that, like, that you are a natural hustler. Like, I have to say that out loud, because I don't think enough people are saying that. Like, I've seen a couple of things on social media saying that, like, you know, Instagram makes entrepreneurship look easy. It does, right? You know what I mean? Like, and it also, like, it makes hustling look easy too, because you get the highlights of the hustle, but you don't get people at home in tears because something didn't work out. I haven't seen a social media post of someone crying in front of the camera saying, you know what, guys, I was just stabbed in the back.
Right.
Like, and life is horrible right now. Hashtag no way out. You know what I mean? Like,
it just doesn't
happen. You know what I mean? So if you could just speak to the natural hustle that you've been blessed with, and then maybe some tips and pointers that other people that might not have it naturally could pick up on.
Yeah, this is the thing about the word hustle, is there's so many ways to do it, right? There's so many ways to hustle, and it basically means, don't let the word fool you, it's you work hard. It's like endless work for what you want the result to be. It's almost, a hustler is almost borderline OCD. It's almost like someone that has passion and drive for something that they see or know can possibly happen, and they will not stop until it happens. That's a hustler. Whether it's money, whether it's like views or likes or movies, commercial, whatever it is. For me, the word hustling or working hard, it turns me on. It's the weirdest thing. So I wake up in the morning. Everyone normally does, well, nowadays, everyone normally does their social media, did anything go viral last night, blah, 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 blah. For me, I wake up, I have this thing called the man cave. So I go to the man cave, right, throughout the day or even in the morning, and I just start, what did I think about yesterday? Where is this at? Where's, I have like a vision board and a dry erase board and a cork board. And I do not stop. It's kind of really weird because people don't see it. I don't, they don't see my struggle on social media. They just see like, oh, Flips did his 48th commercial today. But how, where are the other 47? How did he do those? It's literally, how can I make an idea of mine come to life? And I'm not talking about a $1 million idea that I can retire off of. It's literally like, if LL Cool J is doing a show in a month, how can I make that show better?
Because he's LL Cool J's choreographer, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Thanks to Hi-Hat. Thanks to Claudine.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, does LL need more B-boys? Does he need females? And then getting hired as a choreographer for LL, but you get hired as a dancer for Missy. So you got to fall back and wear that hat. And it's like, okay, do I remember the old choreo? Do I need to go on YouTube? Do I need to go on my old camera to watch me and KML as we did the choreography? That's still hustling. It's hustling to be the best dancer I can be for Missy and the best choreographer I could be for LL Cool J, right? But then it's like, how do I want the font to look on my shirt? It's all the same day. So I don't have time to post. To say, Flips, you only post once a week. I hustle for 7 days. You're lucky I post some shit for you guys to see. I'm hustling constant, trying to get Casio on board, trying to get Red Bull to fly me to Madagascar, trying to get bump boxes sold. It's all done from the same guy's brain in 1 week before you see something I posted that was worth posting that I did a month ago. Oh, I was on the James Corden show. Damn, I forgot. Let me post that. That happened a month ago. That hustle was a month ago. And people are still trying to catch up to that. So the hustle is something that, because I am OCD, I look at my board and go, okay, I have these shows that I want to do. I have an interview with Twitch. I have the t-shirt coming out. I have the hat that I got to get done, the new logo for the hat. How many bump boxes have I sold? Boom. It's like a nonstop thing to where it's like, I have 11 things on the board that I want to tackle. Whether it takes a year, I want to write a show for Cirque or like a continuation spin off of this. I want to do this thing at a club. I'm throwing my birthday jam. And it's the best way for me to describe how I do what I do is like Gary Vee, but I'm like the dancer version of that.
I was just thinking about Gary Vee a couple minutes ago.
Yo, it's nonstop hustle. That guy is like, he does even more than me, and I get turned on by that. I'm like, yo, if he could do this, I was like, you know what I need? I need a dude following me with a video camera all day, because I've done 15, 16 videos for the, from the LL Cool J things that are like little chapters of being on the road with LL Cool J, who y'all need to know is been doing it for 30 plus years, bro. He was in New York on stage with in Queens for the Meadows Festival with us. Jumped on a plane, flew back, and he was at the Emmys doing the Emmys, you know, like and then after that, the very next morning, I don't even know how many hours he slept, LL Cool J was filming NCIS and reading lines for Lip Sync Battle, bro. Like this is a rap artist. Hip-hop rap artist, one of the first to do it, and he's 30 years in the game, has like 40 hit songs, he's been featured with everybody, and people look at, you know, like the mumble rap, like that's what's in now. It's like, yeah, but you're not making LL money. LL's doing everything, acting, hosting, an hour set. You know how hard it is to remember all his lyrics for the last 32 years? And he still got to remember lines for this show. And then you know, bring out an award for this show, and say it's crazy.
It's incredible,
but being around him makes me be like, you know what? He comes from the same, the hip hop DNA.
Yeah.
It is a hustler's mentality.
Yeah, man.
He was 16, 17, got his first hit, and then he did a hit before even getting signed. Like, that's how much he believed in himself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's dope anyway, about that, too, is
Gary
that,
V and LL Cool J.
Yeah, no, I actually have two things. Because Gary V's ultimate dream is to buy the Jets, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is that, that's like, he says that's what he's hustling for. He's like, when that happens,
the
then you know, that's the ultimate. Do you have, do you have like an ultimate goal?
I'll tell you the craziest thing. Oh man. Okay. Do you remember I had surgery, right?
That
stomach surgery.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. My appendix burst and then I had two hernias, right? Once that happened, I know. I almost died.
Producer Sammy just covered her face. Like,
I almost died, you guys. I have like this gnarly scar. Anyway, I had like 9 hours to live or something like that. Crazy. When that happened, they make you sign this paperwork in case you don't make it. Who's the beneficiary of your money? So you worked all this time for all this money to try to buy something big.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like dance could have ended it all at 29 years old. I was 29 years old. I'll be 38 soon. But at that moment, I know that I cried about it then. I signed the paper. I was super nervous. I was scared. I was like, dang, what if I don't wake up from this anesthesia? Like, I'm going to go out in peace because they put you to sleep. I had literally done more than I had ever wanted to do. I only wanted to do one movie. One commercial would have been cool. Go on tour with one major big artist. And when you see the numbers that I had done, like, 26 opportunities to do a movie, 76 TV shows or opportunities and blessings, right? I the goal was already met. So now every time I do something, there is no final goal. I feel like I feel like once I stop or once it stops, but the goal is to help as many people as I can get to the level that I'm at. That is a goal. Like, I want to help. I know I helped Tamper a little bit with to help Cloud out and to help a couple of the guys out, you know, like at least guide them to the right agent or the right manager or give them, bless them with a job that you can't do. So that goal of helping others, it's like, check that. And then I think there isn't anything I want to buy. There's like, of course, like I want a DeLorean from Back to the Future. Okay. Right? I don't want a Tesla or any crazy like that. I want like a DeLorean, but the one that really works. So if I really go 88, I can go into the future. I don't have necessarily a goal, a big one, where I'm going to buy a mansion.
Right, right.
The sad part is I feel like it's not sad. It's just, I don't want it to sound crazy, but it's happening.
Yeah.
The goal, like the mansion, the cars, this and that, it's happening. The only big dream I really had was to create like an agency, like a William Morris Endeavor or like a CAA or a UTA, but under that umbrella is everyone I've always worked with, like the Nelsons and the Twitches and the Harry Shums are in it and John Chu's in it and my homies are in it, and the agency is almost like the LXD,
right?
But with managers, producers, executive producers, we create our own series, we create our own movies, we create. So John was the closest to that goal. Was like John Chu's, like he hit that nail. He just got to finish hammering it in there. But it would be like that. That would probably be the goal that, who knows, might happen, might never happen, but is to bring everyone you always wanted under one umbrella, like a bank, like. Like some big, just this big, huge thing, almost like, a not a new world order, but like a, you know what I'm saying? Something
people
like that.
People gonna be like, Flips is in the Illuminati.
He just
made the hand sign. He was like, look, he did like this. Everybody gonna be freezing it and taking screenshots like Flips in the Illuminati.
Something like that, because if all those agencies started off small, let's just say started with a boutique with a really powerful executive. a really good manager and a really good person that would go out there and dude, I mean, they have buildings.
Absolutely.
They have a build. It's like, why can't we have that?
Now, is that what you're kind of starting the road towards with Flips Entertainment?
Yeah. I want to unify like the greatest powers of entertainment, but from our world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like let's say like Cloud is like a Johnny Depp.
Right.
But he's under the umbrella. Right, you know what I mean? Right. And then you're Dwayne Johnson and you're under the umbrella.
Gotcha.
But like that massive. Yeah.
Gotcha. Now is it your like production company? Is Flips Entertainment your production company or is it just
Yes. But Flips Entertainment is really me helping friends.
Yeah.
Literally. It's that simple. Like Flips Entertainment, I have my hands on so much stuff. Like I said, hats, clothing line, shoes, watches, radios, but it's literally me, kind of like a Gary V, where I just spread myself thin and I got my hands on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But what I want to do is like unify it all, almost like bring it all under the same umbrella, which it just takes understanding. Mm-hmm. It takes an understanding to work with Nelson and to work with an agent and to work with someone like yourself and to like, all right, so what's the product? Who's the talent? How are we pushing this? Let's go.
Right, right.
Like that simple.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like have you pushing Bumpbox and then have Nelson running G-Shock. And, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Absolutely.
It can be done if there's an understanding and there's a contract that reflects everyone's happiness.
Yeah.
It could be done. There's no way why it shouldn't, you know? And that's why I feel like it can be... They package these deals this person does this studio, all right, 3-movie deal with this, let's do that, boom, all right, and then we'll bless him with this, he's pushing that product, we got that rolling, money's coming in, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Building.
Got it, yeah.
It's a goal that can actually be met, but I'm not trying to do it alone.
Right.
I just kind of want to, so that's why there's meetings coming up with some people and sports teams need to know about, you know, the bump box and all this stuff, and it's just...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's like Slumdog Millionaire. Like, mm-hmm. I've been able to be around the David Beckhams and the Spice Girls and Simon Fuller and all this stuff, and it's like, they do create this amazing... Simon Cowell, they create these teams, these houses where, you know, you delegate properly and the right people kind of... You wear the right hat at the same time,
absolutely.
And dude, you can make big things happen. You're doing it.
Yeah, which is also something to be said too about, you know, when you're whatever environment you're in, to become a sponge at no matter what stage of life you're in right now, right? Because I'd imagine you are still learning as you go now, whether you be on set, whether you be on a business meeting, you're still learning as a sponge and soaking all that in. And I feel like a lot of people can get caught up feeling like you already know something, because you might have booked a job or two.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or maybe you just booked your first choreography job, or you might have just got your first endorsement, and it gives you a little bit of this shallow veil to say, okay, well, before I take advice, like who are you, or like before I do come to set early, like, you know what I mean? Let me make sure I'm looking, because today's my dance scene. So like, you know what I mean? It might not be my movie, but it might be my dance scene. You know what I mean? So there's always something to be learning. You just have to. That's the only way you evolve. I mean, my man has started from the street scenes, battles. He's done movies, and now he's investing in companies, y'all. But Flips pulled up with something today to just it was crazy. I mean, let me see how can I, because I don't know. I know I can't just lift this thing up there, so I'm just gonna use the power of my mind. Hold on for a second.
What's up?
Flips, what is this, man?
Let's go.
What is this?
This is a bump box. This is the latest, coolest thing that's come out. It actually, it's for me, it's like a time machine. Because I'm a B-boy, so you know, I got to play hip-hop tracks. And it is literally like car stereo system turned into a boom box.
Absolutely, man.
You got the wood, 10-inch woofers, 4-inch horns.
And y'all, it's loud.
No,
okay?
you gotta
it's,
hear
it's
this
loud
sound.
Here. All right, y'all ready for it?
Let me
sound down a little bit.
Yeah, we gotta turn the sound down, and I gotta get you.
Hold on.
Because, I mean, this is right. Like, this is this is crazy.
Let's do LL Cool J, my man LL. Let's go. Bring him back. Y'all ready?
Let's go.
BC style. The A, the B, the C, the D, the E, the lights? F, the G, the Come H, the on, I, bro. The J, the K, the L, the Get M, the no M, L. The O, the P, the Q, the R, the S, the T, the U, the V,
W, X, Y, Z.
It's bullshit to me. Rhyme to the rhythm of her. What should I give her? Brother, time to move.
Let's
on.
Go.
You better get another bit to work with or quit. Cause I'm on some old ill shit. Capable of murder, but I never committed. Taking no shit, so you better forget it. Traveling the world, I'm a total devastation. Total supercalifragilistic empty execution. A wicked bitch. Digging your ditch, giving your stitch by stitch. Ain't this a bitch? Sweeter than lemonade. Shorter than a hand grenade. Rhymes are laid. Go deeper than a mermaid. Louder than a
crazy. It's called the Bump Box Freestyle, man. So every Friday, you know how Freestyle Fridays?
Yeah.
Every Friday, I throw these little videos, and then I get some dope B-boys and dancers. I got to get him on the show ASAP.
Can I please get one of those?
Yes. Yes. So we freestyle to it, man, and I bring it to LL rehearsals, so the ESPYs, and people were, like, gung-ho about it. I brought it to Missy Elliott's rehearsal for the FYF Fest, mm-hmm. and she posted it and went viral. So it's like, you got to get on it, man.
I'm serious. I want one.
I got to hook him up.
Like, I want one.
I got to hook him up.
It's just like, you know. So you got the Bump Box. What else are you involved in, Flips?
What other companies
you want to shout out, okay, man, before we close this thing out? Because I know you got your hand in a lot of pots, brother.
I know. Okay, so working with these guys.
Hey, shout out Red Bull.
Shout out to Red Bull. Helping create creative content in the realm of creative sports. Action sports.
Hey.
Let's go. That's right. And then, so City Lokes, check this out. This is leather with the metal pins, and I got my logo on there, and that's leather. Yeah, man. So that's dope. Snapbacks. What's up?
Wow. And where can we find these flips?
At City Lokes.
City Lokes.
Yep. CITYLOCS.
We'll make sure we include a link.
Yeah, man.
With that.
But it's super dope. We got the leather and stuff. And then also, I'm throwing a jam, which is going to be super cool. Mm. And then people are going to be battling for swag. So if you want a Casio G-Shock, shout out to Casio G-Shock.
Hey, let's go.
You got to battle for it. If you want a Bump Box, you got to battle for it. If you want a hat, you got to battle for it.
Done.
If you want GoPro products, you got to battle for it. Levi's, damn. Battle for it. Commuter Series Levi's, you got to battle for it.
Yo, Kicks, you getting the message here, right?
Yeah.
It's nothing for free right now.
Yeah, ain't
it's nothing for free.
Yeah, and I'm putting it all up and then getting the sponsors in. You already know how it goes. But it's rare that B-boys battle and they don't know what they're winning. It's mm-hmm. better that they actually battle for it.
Right.
So it could go on all night. So if somebody battles for the grand prize
right.
and somebody wins it, it's not to say somebody else calls them out for it.
Oh, wow.
Damn. Let's
got
go.
Right
cause yeah, cause Twitch might sit back all night and be like, "All right, we're about to close it out. Last 5 minutes." He's like, "Hold up, I want the Bump Box," and he's getting down for it. You know what I mean? I think that's dope.
It's really dope.
I think it's really cool.
This.
So yeah.
Now, when will these? Do you know when these will hit the market? Are they already out?
I just had on the 6th. I just had my reveal party for it. So
dope.
Yeah. The new Freestyle V3s just came out.
Okay.
They're a little lighter and they're louder. So
available online?
Yeah, available online.
And I'm going to include a link for that too.
Yeah, bumpbox.com/flips, FLIPZ, because I'm selling them. What's up?
Let's go.
Oh.
Man, Flips, I'm so proud of you, bro.
Thank you, man.
I mean, it's just the work that you continue to do, but then also just being able to get into that philosophy and the gems that you dropped today, man, are priceless information. Mm-hmm. And I hope the listeners, the watchers, picked up on that and take that on their journeys, man. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for coming by to the lab, brother.
Down, man. Bang. I'm down. Let's go. I better see y'all at the jam, too. I'm going to post it, so maybe he can repost
it. Hold on. Yeah. Before that, where can we find you on the socials, bro?
Oh my God. Personal is at Ivan Flips Velez, Ivan. FLIPZVELEZ.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's Instagram and Twitter. And then Facebook is Ivan Velez personal. And then Ivan Flips Velez mm-hmm. is like a profile situation.
There you go.
And then the business. So if you want to know what the business is doing, how the business is doing, and my other hustling side is doing, that's at FLIPZENT. That's Instagram and Twitter. Mm. And then on Facebook, it's Flips Entertainment.
Love
so
it.
FLIPZ and entertainment as the only way you spell it.
Boom. That's the way you do it.
And then Vimeo, right? Yeah, Vimeo too. Vimeo. Ivan Flips Velez and Flips Entertainment and Vimeo, yes.
You have no excuses to not know
None.
What's going on.
None.
None. None. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye. Let's go. Don't stop, my baby, you fine, but your girlfriend's not.